Hello and welcome to Press X, or also known as We Have Lots of Review Stuff, So We're Spilling at the Seams. And that is a dual-layered thing, because
yes.
One of the games I've been playing is...
Shameful.
Hinto.
it's shameful. You need to delete your hard drive.
Yeah, if
as in just delete the entire thing, the physical hard drive.
Yeah, it's funny, because if it was my one of my external hard drives has just died. Now, I was, you know, really sad about that happening, but if this was a PC release and this said title was on said hard drive...
You would be feeling better.
I'd be feeling better, and I'd probably set it on fire as well, just to make sure.
No, drop it in the bathtub. That's what you want to do.
Yeah, but the game, I'm sure you are wondering...
No. We'll come to that. We'll keep it as a surprise.
Okay.
It as a surprise.
Let's go with that.
So, yeah, today... We're going to be talking about games that we've been playing and giving you the lowdown on some of the games that you may want to either look out for or to avoid, depending on how strict your parents are and where you might be playing these games.
How good the lock is on your door.
Yeah, how good the lock is on your door. Now, do you want to start off or do you want me to start off?
I suppose I will. First one, the game that I was hinting at. And you can interject whenever you feel like
you want to tear it off like a bandaid.
Please interject when you feel like you want to.
You want to tear it off like a really sticky plaster on a hairy arm.
But one of the gags of promotional circuit on games recently has been the continued surprising existence of Senran Kagura. This, the only thing this can be described as is, you know, the... There's no way to talk around this, but remember the boob physics for Soul Calibur Dead or Alive. That's quite mild.
Well, no.
That's
let's put it this way. Dead or Alive Extreme, or Rumble Roses Double X, was
that
it?
The wrestling one?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Rumble Roses Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball and their spin-offs and sequels and whatever else. Everyone thought that those games were basically...
The nadir of creepiness.
Yes, the nadir of creepiness.
And
if you play those games and enjoy them, then there was something slightly wrong with you. But in comparison to Senran Kagura...
Yeah.
See, the difference here is you didn't play Senran Kagura, the first two Senran Kagura games, which surprisingly weren't as bad... In terms of the gameplay,
I've got the graphics to go with it now.
But in terms of what you played, it's very different, isn't it?
Yeah. Recently, I watched a film called The Witch, and I wouldn't recommend watching that going before bed because you'll have horrible nightmares. Same is true of this. I wouldn't recommend playing Senran Kagura before going to bed because it'd just be bouncing boobs everywhere. And
might not have horrible nightmares, but
you'll come out the other side bruised to bits. And Senran Kagura,
depending on how old you are,
the other side. Senran Kagura, sorry, it's about ninjas.
It's not Senran Kagura though.
Senran Kagura E versus
Estival
versus. Sorry.
Yeah, let's just be specific here.
Yeah, it's subtitles. We need subtitles, and this has all the subtitles. But the point of this is. You play the story mode. The story mode. There's online versus. There's pause in. Yeah. Remember that mode? I think it was in the beach volleyball that you just referenced there.
Yeah.
I think one of the modes was like photo shoots and
Shoots and stuff.
That's one of the modes. That's a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh God.
But the story mode, which I assume is the main draw. I don't really know. I don't really follow this sort of thing. Is it the main draw?
I don't know.
Well,
I haven't played this version.
Just
played Senran Kagura 1 and 2 because I had to review them. And
you didn't have to. You wanted to, Rob. You were compelled.
Actually, no.
The Passion of Christ compelled you
it didn't.
Review Senran Kagura.
If Jesus was involved in any of the part of the review process, these games would be very, very, very different.
Story, though, we start off with two. We have the blonde who, quoting line here, "I want to jump in that fire because it makes me so horny." Quoted verbatim. There.
And what is the blonde's name?
And she is jugged to heavens. Her character, her friend, brown-haired friend, is...
Again, what is her name?
I don't think the series is that interested in it, but they are just wandering through a vaguely generated forest. And the first shot you see of the blonde, the proper shot, is her has her pants as she is peeking through a bush at something which is going on there. Other side of the bush is a witch who has got some sort of spirit-like version of a lot of other drugged monstrosities and sending them to other points of history. And the two people think, oh, there's our friend there. We don't want to lose our friend. So they're run over. They are sent back in history and are forward in history. It's not really clear because it's this weird continuity of understanding, you know. Because apparently these are ninjas, but the ninjas who feel a need to transform via really lewd cutaway sequences, which has them in silhouette, not much of a silhouette, absolutely buck naked, and then being redressed. And sometimes the boobs added or taken away, you know, it's I'm stressing the boobs because it's Senran Kagura. It's all about that. Another thing about that, though, on that same point, when you defeat enemies, their claws come off. And they're all revealed to be boot monstrosities as well. People in this universe drink a lot of milk, is all I can say.
Yeah, you'll get that reference if you watch anime.
Wasn't there, well, kind of, but wasn't there a series... Akiba's Trip, wasn't that the same sort of thing?
Akiba's Trip was kind of the same sort of thing, but they didn't go completely butt naked.
No, they're not completely butt naked. They still have their underwear on.
Yeah, but the thing that about Akiba's...
Better, apparently.
The thing about Akiba's Trip was that it was mad as hell. It was just totally nuts because one of the ultimate attacks in Akiba's Trip was that you had a laptop and then you basically crouch down and start headbutting the whacking the laptop off your head.
That sounds charming.
Right. Just whacking it repeatedly while you're kind of shuffling forward. And then at some point you'll hit the enemy and do massive damage. But then you basically stand up and go, hey, I've just hit my head on a laptop.
I wouldn't justify hitting your head on a laptop if you're going to engage in some sort of
I didn't
combat.
Understand that but, attack.
But that's fun. That's fun. If only this was. I'll be honest, it's not fun in the slightest. It's not designed around gameplay because it's got two buttons that you basically move. Well, let's just go. Circle is like dash.
Yeah.
And if you dash full, the skirt will... jump up and reveal their underwear. I feel so dirty talking about this. I'm gonna go to confession for the first time in my life after doing this review. Where's the nearest Catholic church? And there is square, which is light attack. Triangle, which is heavy attack.
That's more than two buttons.
I don't know. The complexity of the actions isn't
I think
exactly...
you need to go to school for maths as well.
Yeah, this has just completely done a number on me as Senran Kagura. But then you press either L1 or R1. I can't remember which one it is. Yeah, I played the PlayStation 4 one. But you press L1 or R1, and it turns them into the Ludovision version, which is not the board game.
Or the hairy monster from Labyrinth.
No, not none of them.
Ludo friend.
It's lewd. It's very lewd. As in, it goes like a very colourful anime screen. All of their claws vanish except little bots of light over their bits. And then they're redressed, whether it's in a French maid or some sort of Final Fantasy-like god. I mean, we've seen cosplay of it, you know, like Ice Maidens and stuff like that.
Yeah, doesn't one of them just put on a school uniform or something?
Yeah, basically. So, yeah, this is.
Now, I just want to interject here, right?
Please.
The developers of this game and Marvelous Entertainment and everyone who was involved in this game, right?
They're going to hell.
No. They knew exactly what they were making.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's a market for this.
No. Do you know what they did?
No.
When they did the marketing campaign for this, especially the UK marketing campaign...
Oh, yeah, that's what I was referring to back in a few minutes ago.
Yeah, they actually designed it specifically so that the people would look at it and go, ugh. Because you had the skinny bearded guy playing the game, and he's got the booby mouse mat from the Senran Kagura 2, and
yeah.
He's playing the game and everything like that, and then he goes on to what looks like Tinder, and... He's, you know, he's swiping through all of the real women and going, nah, I don't like the look of them. And then this anime girl, he's like, ooh, yeah, I like her. then he goes to meet her in a pub, and it's basically just a hug pillow of one of the characters.
Well, yeah. But that is the...
There's three parts to that. And
is that like a short film?
There's three parts to it, and it's like a short film. But the entire thing ends up in creepy territory. Creepy weirdo territory.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I know there's a market for this.
There is a market for this. There are people who like this sort of game. And there are people who actually aren't bothered by that level of fan service.
Oh, no, it's just, if fan service is a thing, have something packed around it. Don't just say, yeah, we're not doing any of that. Just, it's all the fan service.
Really?
No, if it's, I don't mean that, you know, not in a, I'm not excusing a lot, but if it's integral to a story, yeah, or like understanding of a like universe, like we use it as an example, but Michiko and Hachin, it's character specific reasoning, yeah, there. It's not, ooh, boobs because boobs.
Unlike Kill la Kill.
Yeah, but we won't get into that. But
High School DD.
Senran Kagura has an audience. I'm not one of it. I never will be.
Thing is, there are a lot of people that we know who would literally sit down and play this game and really enjoy it.
It's not very good, though.
In terms of the game itself, I think part of... I'm just going to play devil's advocate.
It's a cathartic experience. It's if you think, you know, Dynasty Warriors is too serious.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to play devil's advocate here. As you said, I think maybe if you think Dynasty Warriors is too serious, but I think that given the number of... the rising number of anime fans in the UK...
Yeah.
I mean, what age rating is on this game? Is it 16?
I think so, yeah.
Right.
It makes sense for it to be that.
Yeah. So it's not something that's going to be, that's marketed at anyone under 16.
No, it's not at all.
And so if you're 16 or over and you're sitting down and you actually find yourself enjoying playing this game, fair play to you. If it's your type of game, then it's your type of game. I mean, in terms of, when I played Senran Kagura 1 and 2, when I had to review those, I had difficulty with the level of fan service.
Was it a DS or what was it on?
It was on the 3DS.
That's not as bad as this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not as bad. And yeah. I think it was consciously toned down a little bit because it was on the 3DS, whereas the one that you've played is on the PS Vita and the PS4.
It's a bit full on.
Yeah.
But in all fairness, this might not be full on. It's just because my gaming periphery does not include bouncing boobas.
So, unless you're playing Dead or Alive or Soul Calibur.
I've not played them in
years. Or One Chambara.
I've never played any of those.
Chambara, whatever it is.
I've not played Soul Calibur or Dead or Alive in years.
Yeah, Bikini Zombie Slayers as well.
It was before, last time I played Soul Calibur was just when Ivy was on the cusp of going out of control. I think it was 3 was the last one I played.
Okay.
So it was before she went full boobers.
Yeah, I understand what you mean. Yeah. But you've also not played any of the Bikini Zombie Slayer type titles.
So in my defence, I may just be an insufferable prude.
You are.
And
it's because you're Catholic.
These games, I'm going to hell for this. I have to do 50 Hail Marys.
Yeah, do 50 Hail Marys and five How's Your Fathers.
Yeah, yeah. So I can't say it's not. It's got its market. I think that's all I can really settle on.
I think that they've tried to be tongue in cheek with it, but they've just kind of failed.
Yeah. If it was like, you know,
carry on type body
cheekiness,
yeah,
you'd be like, that's cute. I like that. Yeah. That's fun. But no, it's just not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah.
So it's a thing for other people.
Yes,
I think is the fairest thing to say.
Okay, not a problem. Moving on to something that was for everybody, but also technically for nobody, Mega Man Legacy Collection on the 3DS.
Now, you're going to have to explain that statement.
Right. Now, you and I both know Mega Man games are stupidly hard games.
Well, yeah, because it's of the era, 80s and 90s games, yeah, which are generally harder.
And this is on the 3DS that I covered this. This is the Mega Man Legacy Collection, which is basically the first 6 games in the Mega Man series. It's not the 9 games in the Mega Man series, which would have been nice, but it is the first six games. Yeah. And the first six games, if anyone remembers, are bloody hard.
Is it, though? Or is it just one of these things where we've been spoilt by games and we just become rubbish at them?
No, no, I remember the Mega Man games when I was
growing generally
up.
Hard. Like
they were generally hard.
Ghouls and Ghosts hard.
Not Ghouls and Ghosts hard, but still quite tough.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw these kids talking about Ghouls and Dark Souls is so hard. No, you haven't played Ghosts and Ghosts.
Yeah, Ghosts and Goblins and Ghouls and Ghosts. If you want a hard platform game, then that's what you play.
Is it like three hits and you're dead and you got to start the game again?
You basically measure... You don't measure the game in how much of the game you completed. You measure the game in how long you've been alive.
Yeah, yeah. Dark Souls is a cakewalk compared to this.
Exactly.
Dark Souls is Fat Princess compared to this.
Yes. With a fistful of cake.
Yeah. That's the second one, wasn't it?
Hey?
They made more than one Fat Princess game.
No, I was playing on the reference to Fat Princess. You killed my joke.
I'm sorry.
Mega Man Legacy Collection, it is everything that you want from a Mega Man collection. The first six games, almost everything you want. Most people would say, I wanted all nine Mega Man games in this.
You can't please everybody, though.
You can't please everyone. And I think Capcom have done an amazing job of getting the Mega Man games.
What is this on anyway?
It's on 3DS, and I think
that's perfect for it. That is perfect for it, though, the 3DS.
Yeah, it's perfect for it on the 3DS, but I think it's also been out on the PC as well.
No, I don't think it's fine.
I think it was out last year on the PC.
But if you, on a train, on the bus,
yeah,
whip out your 3DS and be incredibly aggravated about how hard Mega Man is, it's perfect for it.
Well, the thing is, this is an actual proper dyed-in-the-wool remastering of the original NES games and SNES games.
And just before you go there, were all these released in this country?
Yes.
So there's no new first in UK only content?
No.
Oh, okay.
What you've got is that what you've got on the 3DS, you've got a really nice little interface, you've got the two screens being active, and Mega Man basically is Mega Man. There's nothing you can really say except it's an action platform game. You jump around, you shoot enemies, you solve puzzles, you move on to the next level. That's basically Mega Man. The story is exactly what you'd expect from Mega Man. Kind of an intermission type thing in between levels where they flesh out a couple of little details and that's it. It's typical kind of early platform game type story. You know, like the ones that you found a lot of in, say, the old New Zealand story and various things like that, where they give you an overview of what was going on and then just filled in a couple of blanks in between levels and then that was it.
Well, it wasn't really driven by story. Story wasn't its...
Yeah.
It was creating a world and you just spent some time in it rather than...
Yeah.
There's a big bad, we've got to get big bad.
One of the things about the Mega Man games was that it was all about learning the game, and the way you learned the game was through your...
It's rhythm and timing, isn't it?
Rhythm and timing, basically through your body. It wasn't a matter of learning how to, check in strategy guides or anything like that, because you couldn't. There was no point. You basically had to learn...
Those phone lines, though.
They used to have those phone lines, but...
But that couldn't help you with Mega Man.
No, because you had to learn it through muscle memory.
Mm.
You had to learn it through instinct and reaction and hand-eye coordination, those sorts of things.
Making it sound very romantic.
It's not romantic, it's just basically that's how games were back then. And if you think about how games were back then, we couldn't play games in the way that they're played now. We had to rely on our instincts, our reflexes, everything like that.
Well, that was kind of convenient, really, because back in that day, well, I was very young back in that day, believe it or not, but generally you couldn't spend as much on games, and also there weren't as many games to buy, so you had to make what you had last.
Yeah.
And this sort of... That sort of muscle memory thing that you're referring to, that is a perfect example of you make these games last and you learn. You do it in different ways, you experience and experiment, which is a thing. It's a thing which has sadly gone missing in games these days, I think.
Yeah. The lineup of games that are on this collection is really well thought out, really approachable, and starts you off at the beginning and you work your way through. There's little challenges you can do which really kind of take away from the monotony of repeating the same level over and over again because you keep dying around the same place over and over again.
Yeah, I know that.
And that's always been one of the most frustrating things about playing this type of game, this type of action platform game. It's always been one of the worst things. I mean, the original Metroid games, if I had to choose between the original Mega Man and original Metroid, I'd go with Metroid. I preferred Metroid to Mega Man. I don't understand. One of the things that I have a problem with is that I've played the Mega Man games to death. I've played pretty much every single Mega Man game.
I think that's why when Shovel Knight came out, I was like, yeah, why are you so mad about this? I've played this thing like hundreds of times before when I was a kid.
I was the same, remember? Yeah. You know, I played this type of game hundreds of times since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why everyone was suddenly raving about Shovel Knight. And
it's good.
It was a throwback. Yeah. It was good. But that doesn't mean to say it was anything particularly special.
No. Right time, right moment.
Yeah, and Mega Man is one of those games where, when it came out, nobody really said it was a revelation in gaming. Everyone said it was...
Just out of curiosity, though,
yeah.
On that point, were these games actually popular back in the day of the NES? I don't believe they were they?
Not really.
I didn't think so.
Not as popular as people think.
I didn't think they were, because I don't remember people talking about like NES on the... Not NES, Mega Man on the playground. Not once.
Mario, yeah.
Mario, like Street Fighter, that sort of thing, but never Mega Man.
Yeah.
Never.
Mega Man was never as popular as people think. And it's one of those nostalgia things. You have loads of fans of Mega Man who are going, oh, it's one of the greatest games ever made. And like, well, did you forget Metroid actually did the same thing?
Yeah, loads of games did. Like Metal Slug, all sorts of things.
Metal Slug came after.
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, Metal Slug's better, though.
But you had other games, you had other games that came out that... had the same thing.
Contra, there's another one.
Yeah, Contra.
I loved Contra.
Contra was an amazing game. Yeah. Contra is one of those games where you'll get Mega Man fans saying, no, Contra's no good.
Because military and not robots and sci-fi and gubbins.
You want military, robots and sci-fi? There was a game that came out from the Bitmap Brothers on the Commodore Amiga, which was amazing, and everyone's forgotten it existed.
It's like 1D, though, isn't it?
No, it was a 16-bit game.
Oh, was it really? I never realised the Bitmap Brothers lasted that long.
Bitmap Brothers were coding on the Amiga, which was 16-bit.
Was it really?
Yes.
I never knew that.
Yes, and it was called The Killing Game Show.
I think I've heard of that, yeah.
And you could walk up walls. You could basically walk sideways up walls and stuff like that. It was great.
Yeah.
And I loved that game. And it was an action shooter, just like Mega Man.
Mm-hmm.
Huge platform-based levels, loads of baddies to kill, puzzles to solve. It was great.
Super difficult.
Difficult, but... very, very much more challenging than Mega Man, because Mega Man kind of veered off and went into stupidly hard territory from time to time,
yeah.
But it never reached Ghosts and Goblins, Ghouls and Ghosts levels of stupidly difficult.
Well, that was the fun of those games.
Yeah.
It knew it was just trying to tease you.
See, everyone keeps talking about Battletoads and how Battletoads is like...
Every level on Ghouls and Ghosts.
Exactly. Here's level one of Ghouls and Ghosts, Guffy Life.
Level one on Ghouls and Ghosts is harder than the final level on most games.
Yeah. You want a boss fight? Here's level one on Ghouls and Ghosts.
We're talking about Ghouls and Ghosts a lot, but it's remembered for the right reasons.
Yes, if you've played Ghouls and Ghosts, then the original Ghouls and Ghosts we're talking about.
Ghouls and Ghosts. If you say it three times in the mirror, there's that guy in his armour come behind you and say, please help.
Maybe, you don't know.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. See, if you were going to do Shovel Knight and you wanted to have like little DLC characters in, he'd be perfect for it.
Oh, he would, yeah. More so than Kratos. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I know. Mega Man Legacy Collection. If you're a fan of Mega Man, then this is kind of an ideal thing. It's a great way to actually preserve the first six games, because with the way that games are these days, there's no real longevity.
There isn't. It's like I was saying, you know, there's so many... When you were younger, games meant more because there was fewer of them and they lasted longer.
Yeah.
Opposite,
but now there's no real longevity in games, and they try and extend the lifespan of games through artificial means, but it just doesn't work as well with some games as it does with others. With the Mega Man Legacy Collection, it's a nice little aside from all the usual things. It's a throwback to how games used to be, and in that from that perspective, it's really worth getting. It's one of those things that is a look back at the history of video games and how they developed. And, you know, if you're a serious gamer, if you're serious about playing games, especially playing games for competitions and stuff like that, then you'd do worse than actually picking this up. There's a lot worse you could do than picking this up. And I know that's...
Okay.
Because this is the type of game that will challenge competition players. It will challenge them in the best way possible. And that's it. Mega Man Legacy Collection. If you're a fan, pick it up. If you're not a fan but are interested in the history of video games, pick it up. if
it's,
you're,
it's not going to be a high price point.
No, no, it's not a high price point. I can't remember exactly how much it is, but it's not a high price point at all.
Especially for the amount of stuff you're getting.
Yeah, it's the 6 original Mega Man games.
Mm.
You can't really go wrong with that.
Hi, here at The Geek Show we have a lot of fun making our podcasts, but we can only do that with continued support from our wonderful listeners. So if you feel like giving us a few monies, why not click the donate button on the right-hand side of the website.
This is Andy from Literary Lightroom, telling you to go and listen to us, where we literally loiter about everything literary. With far too much loitering.
Are you weeb trash? Do you love all the animus? Come to SunnyCon, St. James's Park, June 17th to 19th, 2016.
Final game I'll be talking about, this time out on Press X to smack someone with a riding crop. Or whatever, I don't know, Senran Kagura, you dirty, dirty bird. Hitman. I don't know where I was going with that, but I've come back around, I've come full circle, and I've settled on...
A bald guy.
On the bald guy, Agent 47, to be precise. Not just any old bald guy.
Who's, surprisingly, in the new Hitman game, a lot more animated than when I reviewed a Hitman game, which was Hitman Go.
Oh, yeah.
He's a little toy figure.
Yeah. Hitman 2016, because it's, I've got a subtitle, and I will just say this before I get into it. I liked Absolution.
Yeah.
Many people hated Absolution, but I think Hitman Absolution and Rec 3 have a lot in common. Because it deviates from what these games are supposed to be, it suddenly becomes the worst thing in the world. But no. No, it's not.
Well, here's
Hitman Absolution was a good story, and it had some very cool levels. Okay, it wasn't as varied and wide as it was in the past, but it's still everything that was good was there.
I liked Hitman Absolution. Yeah. Until I played Hitman Go. And then I absolutely adored Hitman Go because Hitman Go was everything. It's everything Hitman, right? But condensed down until it's to its simplest gameplay elements. And you actually have the tension of sneaking, right? You have the disguises. You have the potted plants that you can hide and everything like that. You have all of the elements of a Hitman game. But it's such a simple game to play. It's perfect for pick up and play. It's just a wonderful thing.
Can't really follow that. It takes that wonderful thing and then turns it sordid and murderous again.
Yeah.
Because Hitman 2016, it's kind of a game changer for the Hitman franchise. It's not about a story per se. It's not going to be released in one big chunk. It's going to be episodic. Not episodic in the way that, you know, like the Telltale games are. It can't be like that. It's just like new levels are released like periodically and the story will be attached to that level and you can play around with that level. But it does have some sort of attempts. I won't say attempts because that sounds kind of condescending and that's not what I mean. It does have a setup. Yeah, that's a better way to put it. It has a setup. You start the game and... It instantly takes you back 20 years to have a... Well, when Agent 47 first became Agent 47, his interview to join the... No, I was going to say Abstergo there, but that's not the name of the company. But this company that specialises in assassination that has become a big thing in the Hitman franchise.
Yeah.
And you meet a character who I think you killed in in Absolution, actually, who is now your handler again. And the first mission is a tutorial.
Really?
Yeah.
In a Hitman game?
It's a tutorial, and it says, go there, pick this up, put that person in there. And it'll have, like, the woman, the mainstay of the series, Diana Burnwood. She's like, oh, I didn't realise you were going to take the clothes. When you put them in the bin, I see what you did there. Very, very sly, very sneaky. And, has the first mission where you have to do this mission that was once done without the Hitman being saw or even noticed, and you got to recreate that. And it was like a... What's it called? It's like a computer program, but not a computer program. It's all like a setup. Like all the people will be agents and... You know what I mean? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
I can't remember the term for it.
It's more like an MMO than it is...
Well, no, it's not an MMO. Not in the traditional sense.
Not in the traditional sense, but the fact that you have... a multiplayer community online and...
Yeah.
Are you all trying to take out the same target?
No, it's like you can set up... It's all level-based.
Yeah.
I mean, the first level is in like a boat. And then after that, it tells you to do the same thing again, but go nuts. Do it in a different way. And then the first level is the one that's seen a lot of, the one that's been released is the one that's had a lot of attention. It's the one where, it's been in the trailers where you've got to, well, one of the ways of doing it is dropping the chandelier on the guy's head. Paris.
Yeah.
It's that one. And that's in the modern day. And yeah, it's Hitman. I know that's an odd thing to say, but like Hitman Absolution, it had smaller levels. It wasn't as freeform. Whereas Hitman 2016 has gone back to the very core. And I will say one thing about that, because it's gone back to the core and because it's bigger and more expansive and it has the architecture of both the PS4 and the Xbox One, I think it's Xbox One,
yeah,
and the PC, its crowds are absolutely massive. That's as much of a blessing as a curse. I mean, it's cool to watch it, but you played him on Absolution, didn't you?
Yes.
And that level where you've got to escape when all the police are hunting you down.
Yep.
It can be much more expansive than that, and I kind of found that annoying. You just get around,
really,
because you get I can understand the appeal of it, but just people just wouldn't move. Don't know, I've just killed some dudes and I want to escape.
Just get out the way. See, one of the things that'd be interesting with this Hitman game,
yeah,
just coming at this from my field, is if you had like a target appears and
oh, that's the beauty of it. It has this feature where you can set a level up in a specific way. And you can set it as a challenge to people in the community.
No, I mean, if the developers basically set up a target, and it's like the only time that target will appear.
Oh, right, like and time everybody, exclusive. Yeah, yeah,
basically
yeah.
Time exclusive. And it's the first person to kill that.
Maybe. Because
see, that'd be an interesting one. So you'd have people going up against each other to try and take out the target.
The way the game's being composed, where they're always adding content.
Yeah.
Because it is that sort of episodic gaming. Like I said, not like the Telltale stuff, because that doesn't work. It's not about the story. It's about being a badass.
Yeah.
And doing all sorts of things. I mean, one of the levels you can put rat poison in, you can drop chandeliers, you can do all sorts. It's as limited as your imagination. But if it had that competitive edge of loads of hitmen.
Yeah.
It couldn't all be in the same one. Let's say it was limited to, like, say, like deathmatch.
So yeah, deathmatch. So 10 people. I was thinking 10.
In one
environment, yeah. 10 people. And the thing is, they weren't allowed to attack each other.
Yeah.
Right?
They'd both die if that happened.
Basically, they weren't allowed to attack each other, but they could interfere with each other. So there's way. So you could
lock the door on the person and the route they're taking.
Yeah.
I'll set the alarm off. Oh, relative alarm.
Basically, things like that. Or you could basically, you know, lure the guards into an area where one of the other players is.
That's the beauty of this thing, though. It's so evolving as an experience, and it's just a meatier experience. Yeah. I think that can evolve. It can evolve what it is, and it can go in some really cool places.
Well, yeah. I mean, the reason why I'm suggesting this whole they're not allowed to kill each other is because then you end up with a situation where
it's just a straight-up
deathmatch. But if you're not allowed to lay a hand on your opponent...
And the deathmatch and a capture the flag, basically.
Yeah, but if you're not allowed to lay a hand on your opponent, you have to keep watching your back from everybody else to make sure that they're not luring guards or trying to trap you in an area, you know, by locking the door, and then you have to try and get out of there. You know, there'll be an escape route somewhere, but you have to try and figure out a way out of, say, the locked room, which may mean climbing out the window, climbing down, starting again, going back up.
You know what the beautiful thing about this is, though?
Mm.
As far as game experience is, it's all downloadable, content's free.
Yeah.
It's just released. You buy the game, and when new stuff is updated, it's there's a Hitman update to be downloaded.
That's really good.
And then there's a new part of the game.
That's really good.
Yeah. I mean, if you have... it's not going to convert anybody. Let's be fair.
Yeah.
It's still a stealth game. And I know people like pretend to love Metal Gear Solid, or at least follow the crowd and like Metal Gear Solid. It doesn't make stealth games popular.
No, it doesn't.
Metal Gear Solid doesn't change that whatsoever. So it's still a marginal form, I think, the stealth game. It's still difficult. It's still unforgiving. It's still, if a character notices you and gets suspicious, it can still blow the entire thing. Because it's not like Metal Gear Solid or, I don't know, Splinter Cell or whatever. You just go out the building, wait 5 minutes, come back. If your cover is blown, your target leaves and you can't do the mission.
Yeah.
So it's taking stealth to a very, very literal level, and difficult as it is, I like that. But I know a lot of people personally who just don't like stealth, and but this isn't going to change your mind.
Again, just going back to that idea that we've just had for for the multiplayer thing, the timed, the timed assassination. That's kind of the epitome of stealth gaming, then.
Because it's accessible.
Well, you've got to make sure that you're not caught, but you've also got to try and interfere with everybody else and beat them to the target at the same time without them knowing where you are. So everybody is up against each other in a stealth match.
I will say one final thing.
It's a stealth off.
One final thing. I know people didn't like the instinct mode.
Yeah.
It's back, but you don't have to use it.
Yeah.
Instinct mode is, if you can't remember what it was called, it was where you press like one of the shoulder buttons and the whole screen went red except your target, so you knew where he was and what to do.
I just had a hilarious thought.
That's it. But yeah, it's Hitman. That's, yeah. I believe that's out now.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. I just had a hilarious thought about that stealth off mode that we've been talking about.
You go on.
If you could use disguises so you could disguise yourself as one of the guards, you could end up in a situation where you're luring a bunch of guards, but all of those guards are actually other hitmen.
That's very Benny Hill of you, I don't know.
Could happen, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
That would be fun.
Because if you can't tell, if they're in disguise and you can't tell, it's one of your opponents.
Hmm. Yeah, but they can't all be bald guys, can they?
Because they're in disguise.
Well, you should take a toupee for Agent 47. Because if they're looking for a bald guy, there you go.
What, like a little troll cap?
Little troll cap, like one of those, working men, the Cockney working men's clubs, the flat cap. Yes. Put one of them on, but hair.
No, troll cap as in giant hair, giant pink hair from the trolls.
Right. No. No, can't have that.
It's going to make him stand out, and if he stands out like that, no one's ever going to think that he's the assassin because he stands out far too much.
Yeah, assassins are supposed to be quiet and secretive. You can't be an assassin. He clearly wants to be star.
And can you imagine if he's got like gold rough sleeves and maracas with
now
giant
you've taken
pink
it
hair?
Too far. You've taken it too far.
And he's
far.
Going samba, just shaking down the street.
It's not a Robert Rodriguez movie. Come on, Rob. Come on, be serious.
Seriously though, the police are going to go. Nah, it can't be him.
Yeah.
Just gyrating his hips down the street with maracas.
If they did think it was, Mardi Gras would ruin them.
Exactly.
Who are all these hitmen? Oh, my God.
Oh, no, she's attacking me with sequins. Barely covered sequins.
With that as a segue, though, I think we better leave Hitman alone because it's done nothing to hurt us. It's done nothing at all. And we're just being mean now. I mean, we're being mean about a very, very good game.
Yeah, and we managed to almost take it in the direction of Senran Kagura with the barely covered sequin things.
Yeah, and I don't think Hitman or Agent 47 carries around that sort of prop.
No, he doesn't. Anyway, this is the final game for today, and I'm going to be talking about another 3DS game, but this one is probably the maddest 3DS game that I have played, aside from its prequel.
You're going to say the maddest 3DS game. That's a high claim there, because there's some mad games on that machine.
Right. The prequel had a lot of characters.
Mm-hmm.
This is Project Cross Zone 2, and would you like to... Before I get into this, I'm going to go down through the 58 playable characters in Project Zone.
Cross Zone 58?
2. Yeah.
50? That's like twice as much as all of the Street Fighters.
I know. Just starting off, right, from Ace Attorney, you have Phoenix Wright and Maya Fair, right? Both count as one solo unit. Then you have Captain Commando. From Darkstalkers, you have Dmitry Maximoff and Morrigan Ainsland, who are a pair, and Felicia, who plays solo. From Devil May Cry, you have Dante and Virgil, who are a pair. From Mega Man 10, you have 10 and 0, who are a pair.
Mm-hmm.
From Resident Evil, you have Chris Redfield and Jill Valentine, who are a pair, and Leon Kennedy, who is solo. Star Gladiator, you have June Lynn Milliam, who plays solo. Street Fighter, you have Ryo and Ken, who are a pair. Ingrid, who's solo. Chun-Li, who pairs with Ling Xiao. Strider, you have Strider Hiryu, who pairs with Hotsuma. From Sega, right, that's all the Capcom ones. From Sega, you have Nightshade. From Nightshade, you have Hibana, who's solo. Resonance of Fate, you have Zephyr and Vacheron, who are a pair, and Leanne, who plays solo. Sakura Wars, you have Sakura Shinguji and Gemini Sunrise, who are a pair, and Erika Fontaine and Ichiro Ogami, who are a pair. Then you have Segata Sanshiro Shinken Yugi, with Segata Sanshiro, who's solo. Then from Shenmue, you have Ryo Hazuki, who's solo. From Shinobi, you have Hotsuma, who's paired with Strider. Space Channel 5, you have Ulala. Streets of Rage is Axel Stone. Virtua Fighter, you have Akira Yuki and Kagemaru, who are a pair, and Pai-chan, who's solo. Yakuza, you have Kazuma Kiryu and Goro Majima, who are a pair. And then from Bandai Namco, you've got from Dot Hack, Kite and Haseo, who are a pair. God Eater, you have CL Alenson and Nana Kazuki, who are a pair. And Alisa Elinichina Amiella, who is solo. And Legend of Valkyrie, you have Valkyrie, who's solo. Namco X Capcom, you have Reiji and Xiaomu, who are a pair. Tales of Vesperia, you have Yuri Lowell and Flynn Cifo, who are a pair, and Estelle Cedos Huracian, who is solo. And from Tekken, you have Jin Kazama and Kazuya Mishima, who are a pair, Hayachi Mishima, who's solo, Ling Xiaoyu, who's paired with Chun-Li, Soul Calibur, you have Natsu, who's solo, Summon Knight, you have Arty, who's solo, Xenosaga has Cosmos, who's paired with Fiora, and then from Nintendo, you have Fire Emblem Awakening, Chrom and Lucina, who are a pair, Xenoblade, who has Fiora, who's paired with Cosmos, and that's a wrap.
I can't remember a time before when you were saying those characters. What are we doing again?
And that's a wrap. Don't just get him.
I'm confused now.
See?
There's too many characters.
There's too
How can
many
a game have that many characters?
And do you know what? It's glorious.
I don't know whether it can be with all that.
It is.
That's just confusing me.
It's the maddest game. It's the maddest game, right? Project Cross Zone 2 is a tactical role-playing game in which you... it's basically like this game. You maneuver your characters around across the field of battle and you basically take out the enemy.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that makes sense enough. I played this guy, yeah? So I know where you're coming from there. So far, so good.
Right. Now, it follows on from the events in the original Project Cross Zone game. I'm not sure how to explain the original Cross Zone game.
But isn't it like one of those books that you get, like, programming for idiots?
Yes.
Haven't you got Project Cross Zone for idiots?
Project Cross Zone for idiots.
Have we got that? Is that a thing?
It's somewhere. I don't know how to explain
this. Are you trying to say that it's convoluted? Is that basically the gist of all
Cross Zone? Yes, Cross Zone, Project Cross Zone 2 is convoluted as hell, right? Now, the subtitle for this game is Brave New World, and what happens is this is set sometime after the events in the original Project Cross Zone. Now, dimensional portals are opening up all over the place again, and you have the... I've forgotten the names, damn it.
Well, I can't help you. There's too many of them, frankly.
I'm trying to find the names. And
What was it called? Is that what it was called? I know there's an anime called that, because it was only a game I played recently on the Vita. How much does Friends address him with a name like that?
Hang on. Let me just bring up the names again, because I forgot the names.
I'm not surprised. Damn, mate.
It's okay. Starts off with Reiji and Xiaomu, who are... They've been given a massive, shiny new car from the organization that they work for, because all these dimensional portals and holes in time are appearing again. Spin on the story, and you go to Sakura Wars, and
yeah,
you have Ogami Ichiro and the rest of the girls from the theater troupe, and they have to take out some enemies who have appeared, and they're going, well, it can't be happening again, so we've got to figure out what the hell's going on. Spin on after that, and you have Hotsuma from Shinobi, or whatever. Hotsuma from Ninja Gaiden, I think it is. Is it Ninja Gaiden?
I can't remember him from Ninja Gaiden.
Hotsuma from Shinobi.
That'd be why then, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You have Hotsuma from Shinobi, and he's standing there waiting for his contact to appear. And then a hole opens in the building, and Strider jumps out of the hole. As it and Strider's going, are you a ninja? And Hotspur's going, are you a ninja? And the two of them are like, they're just staring at each other like, yes, we're ninjas. And let's be ninjas.
Goes, yes, I was a ninja in a really disappointing remake. But
I am a ninja. You are a ninja. We shall be ninja. And then another ninja appears who's from only a couple. See, Strider's from a couple of.
He's a cyber ninja.
He's a cyber ninja from a good distance in the future. And he's like, the world has changed. And then you have another ninja appear who is from.
Anybody from Senran Kagura in there? Ninja 2. Who hold, you know, hold hunting rifles for some reason.
Right, and then you have Hibana, who appears from the sequel, the PS2 sequel to Shinobi, which is Nightshade, right?
Mm.
She appears, and she's from a few years in the future, and she knows Hotsuma. Hotsuma doesn't know her, right?
Makes sense so far.
Right, and then you have a ninja who's appeared from the distant past, who knows the woman that Hotsuma is trying to track down, because that woman is that new ninja, or Kunoichi, or whatever you want to call her, that new blonde ninja's master. And then it all gets very, very weird as these four ninjas are standing around, and then who turns up but Akira and Kagemaru from Virtua Fighter, because Kagemaru turns up, and the one from the past, the ninja from the past, looks at Kagemaru and says, "You, none of you look like ninjas. He looks like a ninja."
You got one of those rooms in your house, you know, when in a crazy serial killer movie where they're trying to figure out who the serial killer is, and they've got like this wall of like photos and string. And
That's my wall, just trying to figure out how the hell this all connects together.
So you've got a crazy Project Cross Zone wall with colored with a string and all of the characters in the universe.
so he goes over here and he goes over here. No, that's not my wall. I'm sure that's the wall at Sega, Bandai Namco, Capcom, and Nintendo.
They'd have to have it just to follow what's going on.
And they've got Kazuma Kiryu and Goro Majima in this.
I like Goro. Goro's cool.
And it's just there's this massive characters, but. And they shouldn't work. There's no logical reason for them to work. But you know what? The beauty of this game, because of the way they've designed the game and they've done it as a tactical RPG.
Didn't look very tactical from what I saw.
It is tactical. And the thing is, when you look at the first few levels, it's basically an introduction to lead you into the game. But then it comes down to who you're pairing your characters with, who's going to be attacking with who.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? And that's where the tactical element starts coming in.
First level did look like a button masher, I can't lie.
When you get into the actual combat, it's just basically mash.
Yeah, okay, that's a thing. You said that.
And then after that, you might just think suicide is painless.
Oh, dear.
TV jokes.
80s pop references. Dear me.
It's not an 80s pop reference. That was the theme tune to MASH.
It was. And there's also music from Music Times. You made me forget everything with all those characters you just unwielded on me.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, this is probably one of the most fun games I've played on the 3DS, except for the first Project Cross Zone game.
It's very high plaudits, because all the games on the DS, 3DS, are designed with, you know, total fun at heart.
Yeah, but there's
that's very generalised, but you know what I mean.
There's something about the Project Cross Zone games where it has, number one, it has that massive nostalgia factor, because you'll be familiar with a good portion of the characters in this game, right?
It's a safe bet.
Number two, it's an easy game to actually get into. Being a tactical RPG means that you have a certain degree of control over what's going on.
Just out of curiosity, on that tactical RPG point,
yeah,
technical RPGs are more relaxing than the general RPG.
Yeah, the thing is, this is relaxing for the tactical RPG part, but when it comes to the actual combat, it's not typical turn-based combat. It's basically, you are basically on the attack, and you can do all of, it's basically turns from a tactical RPG into a quasi 2D fighter, except the other character can't hit back. So you basically go hell for leather with the button mashing, trying to do spam as many attacks and kill them as quickly as possible as you can, so that you can move on to kill the next bad guy. If they get to attack you, you can counter sometimes, not all the time, but it's actually a lot of fun because it does blend those different gameplay elements, and they are disparate gameplay elements because they shouldn't really work together. But they do, and they really work. And you make them work because you can do like super attacks and all of these different types of attacks, and you sit there going, I don't know what I'm doing, but it's so much fun. I'm just button mashing, but look at it. I'm killing them in one go, and I'm the boss. Look at me.
Have you got rage issues, Rob? It sounds like you have rage issues.
I like this game.
You're working your rage out in a very healthy way.
Yes,
you
know, because I like this. Do you know the best thing about Project Crosszone? The original Project Crosszone was that you had that character who was basically like the Bruce Willis character.
Invincible or untouchable or unbreakable?
No. The Bruce Willis character from Die Hard, who's basically the John McClane character of video games before they did the Die Hard games.
Well, theory, you know, John McClane is the same guy as Bruce Willis's character in Unbreakable because he can't die. Bruce Willis can't die. You call it Die Hard, but you have to die to be hard to kill. Yeah, he's immortal, is John McClane. He's the same guy in Unbreakable.
Yeah.
Theories.
Basically, you have that character, right, in Project Crosszone, and one of his attacks, right, when he's involved in the attack in Project Crosszone, one of the things he does is throw a grandfather clock at the enemy.
And then, I hope it was an expensive one.
And then at the end of it, there's an explosion and he just flies off the screen going,
with his arms akimbo.
Yes. And it's like the most hilarious special attack I've seen.
Or even more so than the guy in Akiba's Trip bashing his face off his laptop.
Yes. That's just a normal kind of really, you know, the strong attack. Mm-hmm. That's a normal strong attack. This is a special attack.
Just out of curiosity, in Akiba's Trip, does that move do more damage to you or the enemy?
It does a lot of damage to the enemy. You just get dizzy.
Okay.
I don't understand why.
And it's the same with Project Crosszone. You don't understand why, you just love it.
The story is basically, it's utter bobbins. It's not total shonky guff. It is utter bobbins.
Stop stealing my lexicon.
No, I'm not. I just use that as the standard scale now.
Oh, yeah, it's been stolen from me.
It's the official scale for the Geek Show.
It's been stolen from me, and I have to go to the church and see how many more Hail Marys I need for this.
Anyway, it doesn't make a lick of sense. It does in parts, but it doesn't in general, because
it's fine.
It doesn't need to. It's just basically, hell, we've got this idea. It gives us the opportunity to have all of these characters in one game.
Just sit back and go along for the ride. That's what it sounds like.
That's literally all you do. And you know what? If you try and examine the story in too much detail, you'll spoil the magic. It's like finding out how magic tricks work.
Sleight of hand.
Yes. You don't want to know how the trick works. You just want to enjoy the show.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you do with this game. Just enjoy the ride, enjoy the show, because it is a lot of fun.
Okie dokie doke. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Considering the amount of time you said fun, so
well, the thing
I'd
is,
expect
that. In terms of the graphics, it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and that's all it needs to be on the DS or the 3DS.
It's pretty straightforward. You've got isometric tactical RPG style layout in battles, and then it goes to 2D combat where it's really well animated, lots of good effects. And then the rest of the time during the cutscenes is basically talking heads. It's a really simple approach, but really effective.
Yeah, that's all our games for this week. We will be back at some point with Press X. It's not going to be a recurring or a regular thing by any stretch of the imagination, but it's just a thing that we'll do. It's just a thing that we'll do.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we can't continue to do shows like this, and we know you like shows like this and all the other ones that we do, without your help. So please head over to thegeekshow.co.uk and provide what little help you can. Whether that's, you know, donating something, whether that's buying something from our shop, you get t-shirts, mugs and all sorts, or whether it's just sharing us with your friends, you know, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. Just however you can help, massively appreciated. So, and keep on top of everything that we do. Facebook, Twitter, we're on both. Search us out, and until we meet next time on whatever show that might be, thank you very much for listening. And Rob's going to interject after I did that beautiful outro.
No. You know the Bruce Willis character?
Yeah.
His name's Bruno Dellinger, and he's from Dynamite Cop.
Oh, yeah, that's the stuff.
And when you see a picture of him, it's totally Bruce Willis.
And on that bombshell, I think.
Yes.
It's all we have time for, and do follow all those things that I said, because we do need your help very, very much. So, especially with us being a voluntary organisation. But until whenever we meet again, I have been doing too many Hail Marys for my own good. I just... No. I'm a prude at heart. Otherwise known as Rob.
And I have been having the most fun ever.
Odd contrast. Until next time, bye-bye.